Wi-Fi party line.
Welcome to Sci-Fi Party Line After Dark. Tonight, we are talking about love and robots. My co-host, Carl, is here with the Sci-Fi Party Machine.
You can call me Smooth Jazz Robo Minister tonight. Thank you, ladies. All right.
We have a quiet storm going out. It's a nice rainy time in Ithaca. So if you want to call up and dedicate a robot song to your robot love, give us a call. Mm-hmm. Sci-Fi Party Line.
Let those silicon arms embrace you. Let those digital eyes take it in tonight, because you belong to us.
If you haven't figured out, tonight we're talking about robots.
Finally.
Yes.
Finally. What's up, science fiction? Where have they been?
I mean, really? It's like, welcome back home. Now, we're going to talk about the most epic TV show of all time in recent memory. Yeah, I'm going to go there. And that is Almost Human. Talking about that tonight. We're talking about Elysium. We're talking about Pacific Rim.
There you go. Giant robots.
Yes.
Giant robots, people.
Robots, robot men, sex bots. Wow.
And they went there. They went there on like episode 2. They were not playing around.
Episode 2. Let's just talk about it. Almost right. Human. Let's start off with the good stuff. So if you heard our epic fangasm a couple of episodes ago, well, it was mainly me, about Almost Human, I think it lived up to the hype.
I'm so glad the show was good. Serious. Serious. You know how I'm always ranting about how there's not much real science fiction on anymore?
Yes, sir.
And when we lost Fringe, I mean, come on now. It was a drought for a long time.
We had something, didn't we?
Oh, yes. We had Revolution.
Man.
See, okay, I'm listening. What else you got then? We had Revolution.
The Fallen Skies.
Yeah. See what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was like a drought. It was like, you know, the cold winter of real sci-fi for a while. They were just limping along in the desert with our soil tests. So it was rough. It was rough.
That was a totally nice Stargate universe.
That was supposed to be inside.
I needed people to get that and recognize the genius that is Carl.
People who are followers of the party line know. We didn't have to spell it out. They're like, oh yeah, he's going with the soil test again. So what all I'm saying is, look. I love science fiction. That's why we do the Sci-Fi Party Line. That's why we're part. Where it been? Where sci-fi been? For like, you know, a year and a half.
Feels like longer, man.
It does.
Feels like longer, but Almost Human, when we saw that trailer, you know, I saw Carl Urban and I was concerned, you know my concerns. I don't know. I liked him in the second new Star Trek film. He felt much more natural, much more lovable, cranky, kind of like you are, Carl.
I'm freaking adorable.
Oh, yeah. You're totally adorable. So cute. And so I saw this. I think my excitement bordered lewd. I have been wanting to see something, the future, futuristic, new gadgetry and technology that we haven't seen before in the show. I want to see what the future looks like, not some desolate, post-apocalyptic,
Please stop.
I'm tired of post-apocalyptic.
How many more farms are we going to have to hang out on? Whether it's present-day zombie-infested or so pseudo-future with stuff coming out your neck, I'm tired of hanging out on farms and what's supposed to be science fiction. Bring on the future.
And they brought it. They got the, you had me with the flying cars. You had me with the androids, the different type of androids. You had me with like the latest episode when they was doing the hostage negotiation and somebody threw somebody out the window. I was like, you know, what would be great if they had a thing that could hover up to that and then deliver a phone, because like, how are they gonna get, boom. Then after the commercial, they totally did it. And I was just squealing in here, you know. My neighbors are probably hating me right now, but I love this show. This show is why I exist. It's how I am born and how I was created. It is the very essence of my being. And I tell you, if they cancel this show tomorrow, I am still a happy. They can't take these 3 episodes away from me. They can't do it. They
See, I,
can't
you,
do it.
first of all, with modern science fiction television, you shouldn't even say craziness like that. You don't even say stuff like, "All I need is these 3 shows." No, just don't. We're not even going to go there. But I'm going to back you up in terms of the quality of production, solid casting. Their portrayal of the future is a consistent, tangible, rich-looking future, not a patch, patchwork. Quilty, inconsistent. I mean, and I'm always harping on this because
I know, Carl. I
I
know.
don't
Well, you've been hurting for a while.
I like for for the world that they create to kind of flow together, for stuff to kind of feel like it's all at the same era. The science has gotta match and hang on from one thing to the next. They have created a very fluid, consistent, solid future to inhabit with these stories. Just, and I mean, just, you just from the look of it, just the look of it, it's good. It's good. I was very, very happy. And of course, it starts with some excitement. I mean, first
Really?
episode, it was like watching a video game, honestly. That first scene where we see him and his partner out there having the trouble,
Oh,
you're looking across the barrel of the gun, as you're looking up and looking around. It had the same action and pacing as a video game. And even the same point of view, as a first person shooter, as he's looking around and you got, the people coming in, and the future type, futuristic weapons, and it was just an exciting opening. And
And it
so,
was believable. It was, I bought it. I bought the android. I bought him not having a leg. Like if any limb to lose that's like super sexy in the future, losing your limbs would just not be as traumatizing as it is today, because they have cool stuff to put, like, hey, I don't have a leg, frick it. Let's just put one on, put a sexy leg on, throw some olive oil on
Yeah, and when you snap your
it.
cool leg on, it just looks like a little Livestrong band that lights up. That's all. You just see one little band around it, and that's how you know in the future
Oh
that it's
my
artificial
God.
hair.
And then for the lonely people,
Oh,
you
yes.
get sex bots.
Hey, nothing wrong
That
with that.
is the epitome of everything ever.
Well, look.
Because I mean, fancy fanbot, you know that's nothing but that's me and my obsession with Austin Powers fembots, just general fembots and androids and stuff. I love that is my thing. I love it. The show is me. Like I'm willing to like talk crazy and say this is greater than Firefly for me. And that's
What?
crazy talk.
All
That is
fan mail, all hate mail
crazy.
goes to
No, no,
Fancy
no,
Fembot.
no, no. I'm just telling you, I'm that excited to start talking crazy like that.
Well,
So.
I agree with you on a lot of this stuff. I mean, when I early in my fandom days, I was much too young to be going to see Blade Runner when I saw it, and I saw it in the theater. So I saw Blade Runner in the theater when it came out. And the idea, it dawned on me during the film, the idea that you could build an android whose sole purpose was sex I said, you know what? This is a fascinating area that perhaps I should look into in the future. I mean, you know, of course, granted, the one in the movie was kind of slutty and crazy, but just like I said, you know, I could work with this concept. This is something that I believe is a useful site.
Oh, God.
But you know, seriously, the Blade Runner was my first believable entree into the world of androids and the future. And of course, I mean, come on, Blade Runner, between the cyberpunk ideas, Harrison Ford, sex bots, I mean, and of course it had this dirty kind of biotechnology future was mixed in there, because you know there's a guy repairing an eyeball, you know, all that stuff, and to have that like in the early 80s sort of thrust you into what a possible future could be. So that's what cut my teeth on these kind of, you know, technologies and science fiction of this kind. So, yeah, you know, and Blade Runner is a hard act to follow. You know, there's been a whole lot of stuff that's come since then. And you can feel the inspiration of Blade Runner and everything from episode two to Almost Human. You can feel Blade Runner in, you know, all of this stuff in terms of what the city looks like and all that. But to see it brought back, you know, because it's been needed. You know, it's been needed for a while.
Man.
To see it brought back in a way that is that's refreshing and you know, it's not going to be a one-off. Remember those old video games where you'd watch the preview and what you would see was like the you know, the animation sequence, and then it would cut to the game and it'd be like Dragon's Lair. You're like, what the? You know, the gameplay sucks, you know, all the, well, that's Almost Human, the gameplay does not suck, all right? So it wasn't just in the previews, it wasn't just in the pilot.
We were concerned about it. I know,
because you know how we are when we see science fiction. What happens? They blow the budget, they blow the budget on the first episode on the pilot, and then the next 4 or 5 episodes we're wandering around the desert, we're wandering around in the forest, you know, we're in a freaking barn, you know. I didn't want to see that. So I was afraid of that too. You know,
I think, Carl, that they used, because I think in that trailer we saw information from the first 3 episodes. So I think they used their budget wisely. I mean, you know, granted, this 3rd episode we were in like a stairwell for most of the episode, and like in office cubes, but that was okay because I didn't notice it until. It didn't care. The story was so great. I mean, Carl Urban was doing his dread mouth while he was shooting, and it was just great. Dorian was like feeling, and I was like, Data was never this good. And I'm talking a lot of crap today, but I just love this show. This is my favorite thing ever.
Let's start breaking some stuff down.
Okay, let's break it down.
So what we've been talking about so far is the environment. You know, they may just creating a decent environment for science fiction to occur in is it's a major thing. It's
Stack
a major
back.
Thing. And for so long, we've been kind of fudging it with what we've seen in sci-fi. So it took us a while to get through that. You know, we've been talking about it. So the feel of it is right. I'm happy they created a good environment. All right, so now let's start talking about the characters and a little bit of the story. Now, first of all, you know, I am not always a big fan of cop shows because, you know, they're kind of formulaic. You know, there's always, you know, the good cop and the bad cop, and you know, when the one's from the wrong side of the tracks, and you know, one's the young upstart. You know, it always has this kind of, you know, common this formulaic feel to it.
Yeah.
There is a little of that.
Yeah.
A little of that with Almost.
It does.
But
little buddy cop. Yeah.
If you throw in the insanity of, you know, the future. The android going on, the guy bonding banter, which you know Abrams can do.
God.
He can do, because you know, look, it's one of the reasons I still watch Supernatural. Guy bonding can be fun. Just the cutting up between two characters shows you a certain depth in you know, each of the characters, as well as you just enjoy the dialogue. So forget the fact it's the future. Forget the fact one's an android. Forget the fact we're going to have some action and explosions and cool effects coming up later on. If you can put two dudes in a car and just have them back and forth, you know, teasing each other and having a halfway interesting conversation. You know, that this is a winning combination. You know,
it
you can
is
make
totally
that.
Winning.
You can make that work. So look, they got the environment right. They've got the casting. Nobody feels weird, you know, when you're looking at the casting. No, nobody. Uh-oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Was that some hesitation? Who you got a problem with? Who you don't like?
So, Chick Cop may be a little too cutesy for me.
Okay.
I mean, she's beautiful. I get it. But I've seen beautiful cops before. And she just seems like garnish in a way. Like, I want to see her do so. I want to see more.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say perhaps. And, you know, again, it's just a guess. I don't know. I haven't seen it again. There might be something sparking up between Stahl and
Yeah, but that's just insulting that the main hottie cop chick is going to be romantically involved with John. That's super insulting.
That is, I think that's a little formulaic, but let me ask you something. Have you noticed that Stahl looks kind of like the younger sister of what's his name from Grimm? Grimm's, Monroe's girlfriend on Grimm. Did she kind of look like it? Like the young sister? I can't shake it. When I'm watching it, I'm like, is this Grimm? What's going on here? Are they making these girls in the lab? But yes.
Maybe.
Okay, all right. She is kind of pretty. She is a little predictable in terms of where that's going. Don't get me started on she's like the Deanna Troi on Sex. Because look, remember
that just made
they're talking sense. About, you know, what she is. You got, you know, technology and the cops and the super stuff and the, you know, the gruff Maldonado and everything. But she, you know, her expertise is the psychological. She focuses on the emotional components of what's going on. I was like,
just made it worse.
But look, compared to what we have been dealing with a lot of this is a small
I
thing.
I feel that they're going to make her okay. It's just that right now, she is on shaky. I'm pretty sure you love her.
Well, I think she's very pretty. But again, you know, we're talking about story. She needs a little work, you know.
Okay, you know, Carl, respect. I'm so glad that you didn't just stop and oh, she pretty and blah, blah, and you didn't shut me down. I'm so glad that, you know.
Come on. We're about truth here. Because, look, I can appreciate, you know, a pretty folks and all
you
kinds
know,
of.
You me too. I love a
but
person.
We talk about story here. Yeah. We're talking about stuff that's got to work. So, okay, so I will give you. That she of all of the but look of all the characters we got to deal with, you know, she's one of the lighter ones. But come on, we got Maldonado, who is the chief, the police chief. I think she's an interesting and a good choice for that role. She's believable to me. What? Don't come on. You don't like Maldonado? What?
I like her, but there's something I don't know.
What?
I don't know. Let's see. Let me feel like, because I think, let me figure out where she's from. So she's from Illinois. Okay. So I was like, what is it about? Because I was like, maybe she's feeling Canadian or something. I don't know. Something's not, I'm not sure.
Stop. She's going to be great.
No, she is great already. Oh, I just saw her in The Conjuring and that's why she confused me. Okay. Oh, she was in the X-Files. Okay, so I've seen her around. Okay. She just looks different. And her red nail polish is throwing me off. It just doesn't seem very, I don't know, captainish.
Well, she can be a captain, but still a lady. You know.
Yeah,
still.
Red nail polish doesn't make you a lady. Well, I mean, that's not like what...
She might be making that statement, you know, that she, you know, she can, you know, kill a man during the week, but on the weekends, partay. You know, that's what the nail polish.
That's what the nail polish does.
Exactly. Yes, that's what the nail.
Carl, you don't know much about women, do you?
No, I don't. Okay. I'm not even going to fake it. No, I do not.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
I do not.
Yeah. So it's like I'm feeling weird with the female. I mean, they got the guy characters down, but these female characters, I need a little bit more. I need a little bit more. Now, Captain, she is better, but there's something a little. I'm not saying she needs to be butch or anything like that, but she's totally not like that chick from Law and Order who like it just seems like she gave in when she was negotiating with the guy too quickly. It seems like the guy sort of respect her or whatever, just because it's written in the script. I want to see like that the captain's episode for me to like, oh, all right, I'm down. So,
Okay.
but we're only 3 episodes in, so we don't have that yet. And I'm waiting on that
Okay, but
with
hang on, hang on.
Detective Valerie as well.
Let me help you out here,
Okay.
because remember a couple of things. First of all, Carl Urban, John Kinnix. That's his name, right? Kinnix? Kinnix? John Kinnix. He was a troubled officer, and she was in a small way responsible for bringing him back. So the first thing is, it was her call to let him come back. The next thing is, because so this is background stuff that we don't know all the background yet, but we know that she allowed him to come back, even though he had troubles. He was a troubled officer in the past. Also, she was responsible for getting him Dorian, because remember she says early on that he's special like you. Okay, now she knows something. She knows something. And she pulled Dorian out of the mothballs and partnered him with Kinnix because, well, she kind of figured they're the misfit toys and they're a little ragged. But because the fact that she said that he's special implies that she knows something more about them.
About
And
John. Yeah, are you feeling the Blade Runner thing coming on?
well, which part? Oh, I heard people starting with that. I ain't going for that. What? No, I ain't going for that. No. No, I'm not going for that
Think they're
nonsense boy.
totally gonna do it, and I won't
No.
want to be disappointed when
No, no, no. I'm not going for
they're
that.
going there. They're going
No,
there.
no,
Don't do
no, no, no.
it.
Because if
I'm
they do that,
yeah,
if
how
they do that, they would violate the whole balance of what makes it fun, having the android
Yeah,
and
but
the
they're
book.
shaking it up and they're gonna pull some Agent Coulson stuff.
But
And
no.
maybe he's a clone, I don't know, but I do know that this guy is not fully human. He is almost human.
For crying out loud. Yeah, look, they better not make him anything like that. Okay, I can deal with
I
memory
don't care.
loss. I can deal with total recall, where he's either patching part of his brain back together, whatever. But I'm not gonna accept that he is an android. I mean,
That a deal killer for you?
well, it would be a big problem. It'd be big because half the fun of the two main characters in this are the well, it's your classic Picard Data thing going on here, where the human has had troubles and had a difficult time and is appreciating his humanity through the eyes of a machine, and the machine, striving to be more human, and through the dialogue, they both grow. Okay,
Right.
that there's nothing that's a very strong, solid foundation
But
to
then
build
Picard
these.
became Locutus.
Yeah, but he didn't start as that, and he came back afterwards.
But
So,
how do we know? I mean, there was some timey-wimey.
okay, see now,
I'm kidding.
all I'm
Kidding.
saying is, story-wise, if we're talking about building a good foundation, we're talking about building strong characters and working with, I guess, what memes or whatever of what makes a good story. You don't have to do a twist like that to make these two interesting. I
I
think they.
know, Carl, but I just want you to be prepared for when it happens. I want you to be prepared. I want you to know that I'm here for you when that
You'll
happens.
have to be. I might need a little therapy if
Yeah.
that is go
I'm
there.
here for
I
you.
don't think they should do it. But so,
I don't want it. I
well.
agree with you on it, but I am preparing myself for it because right now everything is too good for me. I need that thing that they're gonna mess it up and I'm gonna
No,
stop watching.
don't fall
It's too
for it.
good right now. It's too good right now. I've gone public saying this is my favorite show and stuff like that. So you know,
Well, All right, so let's
I
focus on.
can't help it. I can't help it if it's a good show.
We're gonna
I can't.
focus
But
on.
did you see that dig at me though at the third episode? Did you see it? The one of the hostages' girls, her middle name was Katrina, and he was just like he grimaced and like, oh, that's rough. Like what? Really? Really?
Listen, listen. We're gonna stay positive, and we're gonna continue to look at the good things about the show. What else? What else? Okay, here's another thing. I was a little concerned that they might be a little too PG on the show. You know, it was gonna be a little too kiddie. You know, and I was just concerned. I was a little concerned about that.
Is it
But
with the
given,
sex box?
well, you know, I'm just saying in the beginning, you know, I wasn't sure, and then they went the sex bots, then they threw a dude out a window, then I was like, okay, I think they're gonna keep it rough. They're gonna keep it rough because it's gonna match. You know, it appears that they're matching in terms of intensity, what we saw in Fringe, you know,
Good.
or that we should be prepared for that level of stuff going on, which I thought was really good. It was an edgy, sort of aggressive for TV level of stuff. And you know, if you're doing a cop show and you're chasing after criminals and stuff, you don't want, you know, cereal box, you know, mustache, you know, twisting criminals. You want some, you know, rap-a-con mess, old school going down here. So, you know, I'm happy to see that too. I mean, this is what I mean. It's like, okay, my verdict about Almost Human so far, in the strongest, broadest sense, is there is nothing wrong with the show. All right. I'm just saying that because why? No, I'm just saying.
Breathe in a paper bag now.
So all I'm saying, because you know, when I'm watching stuff and stuff is bothering me and there's craziness. Almost Human, there's nothing wrong with the show. So let's go to. I know I'm a little nervous too. I agree with you. I'm afraid too. But I'm gonna be optimistic, and we're
Because
gonna
I
move.
just almost was gonna say this show is sheer perfection.
No,
Oh
I'm not gonna go that
God.
far. I'm not gonna go
But
that
it's
far. I'm just
feeling
gonna
like
say.
in the sea of sci-fi that we've been getting for the past few years, Carl, this is
Yes.
as close to perfect as you can get. I only have one complaint is that they in the sex bot shop only had one little skanky skinny dude, and you know, ladies might want man bots. So I think that maybe they should think about that as well.
Well, I'm sure all the ladies had him out, you know, rented out, or that was just
Oh,
the
okay, yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
Because I got to tell you know, the some of the fembots, they had a certain look to them. You know, all of the fem they had a certain look to them.
Would that be skanky?
Well, I'm just gonna say, there is a diversity of female form out there, and if you're gonna be building, you know, a fem sex bots, you're gonna need to change it up a little bit. You're gonna need to throw a little more variety in terms of the makes and models out there. But look, they went there on what, episode two? So
Was amazing.
episode
Yes,
three.
that was episode
Excuse me.
two. No, that was the
Skin.
second episode.
Skin. Say so.
Oh my
Hey, you
God,
know,
they went there and I just like I don't know. I've never been more happy with a show in my life.
I'm sure.
As far as science fiction, it's been a long time.
It
It's
has.
been a really long time. Like, I mean, I liked Fringe, right? But it wasn't gadgety, you know? It was mysterious. It had the X-Files thing that I really enjoyed about it. But, you know, I mean,
It was kind of future now. It's what it was like
yeah.
now with a little seasoning thrown in there.
Yeah. And it just wasn't the flash gadgetry. Like, I love the pretty gadgets and the futuristic flying cars and shit like that that I just absolutely in love with.
I'm with you. I'm with you because you know there were those couple episodes in Fringe where we went into the future, or we
Yeah.
went to the past, and that was a big deal. It was so exciting to see all of that, but then they'd snatch it away. You know, it would be like two episodes, and then we'd be back in the Canadian park, you know, watching Walter wander around. You know, so I to have it set in the future, and they're gonna keep it in the future. We got androids, and we got cool weapons, and you know, implosion stuff going on. It's just.
Carl, I am so happy happy right now, and it's I, you know, I'm just gonna go with happiness. I'm not gonna be concerned about it. You know, we know the nature of the business by now, you and I, and you know, whatever happens, happens. But right now, people deserve Academy Awards or something right now, in my opinion.
They did a good job. They did a really good job. And like I said, and I like the casting. I like Michael Ealy as Dorian.
My God,
I think, you know, he
who
is
is this guy? Where did he even come from?
what he's been around forever. He's been like
I
an
know I've seen him in stuff, but I just can't remember like what else he's been in. Let me think. I'm looking at him. Underworld. I didn't see that.
What? Yeah,
Californication. I didn't...
and let me tell you,
He was in Flash 4.
hang on. Not is not the best use of him in Underworld. So I just,
Okay.
you know, I he's
Dude,
been.
he was in Flash Forward. I forgot all about that.
Yeah, that's right. That's
Oh
right.
my
I
God.
forgot.
He was
God.
in Too Fast, Too Furious. An episode of Law and Order. Yeah, he hasn't been in much many things that I've seen.
Well, he's been in a lot of stuff, but you
Oh.
may not, they're probably not your, you know, your kind of
Yeah,
thing.
they don't look like they had robots and
You
flying
know,
cars and
no,
stuff.
this is new for him as far as I can
Well,
tell.
they made an excellent choice with this guy. I mean, so I wonder if for you, the women are like the men for me because these guys are kind of gorgeous.
Okay. So what do you mean? The women are
Like
like.
are they that gorgeous to you? Because I look at these guys and I'm like, yeah, they're going on the Fancy Fembot Manfest list of 2013. Because they, I mean, because I know what's her face is pretty, right? And I mean, she can make any man wanna, you know, whatever. And but these guys, I mean, they're really handsome.
Well, I think that was intentional. You know, they are trying to reach the broadest possible audience there. And so if you're gonna set something you know, in the future and in the sci-fi world, you might expect that the majority of the audience would be
But my
men.
problem is, Carl, is that you know how I feel about Carl Urban, and here am I'm saying that he's handsome, where every other instance I'm like, I don't even like this guy. I don't understand him. You know all the crap I've given
I
about
know, and
Carl,
I never
and I
quite
don't
got
understand.
that.
I
You
don't
just gave me a
understand
hard
it.
time.
I don't. I never under. I mean, I
Well,
just could. It
but
was
that's because
something.
we get to see him in a fun role. I mean, if you go back in the past, now actually I liked him as Bones. So we've had this discussion
Yeah,
before.
yeah.
I liked him as McCoy. But other than that, you know, his other roles have been, you know, Judge Dredd, really, you know, that was not for him. You know, that was not what they should have done. Right out the get-go, I was like, really, Urban? So if you look at the other stuff that he's done, we haven't had a chance to really see him. You know, he was like in Priest,
Oh
and
God,
you
that
know,
was
he
terrible.
was in what else was he? Oh, he was in Riddick, you know.
He was
So
in, wasn't he in Mr. and Mrs. Smith or something?
yeah, okay, yeah, he played that sort of like
Detective.
yeah, the angry focused detective. And he wait, was that Red? That was
Oh
Red.
no, that was Red. You're
Yeah, that
right.
was
Not
Red.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Yes, you're right.
But yeah, that was good. But again, you see how all of these characters, they were very, you know, full. They were kind of angry and focused and shut off. So we never really got a chance to see him. So to see him now, I think it's cool.
Yeah, and his American accent is getting really good. Like, for first Star Trek, it was still kind of weak, right? But the second Star Trek, he kind of got more comfortable with his American accent, and here he's doing it up. I still hear a little bit of his accent every once in a while on certain things, especially with ours. But he's doing a great job.
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
Yeah.
I like him. I think this role suits him. You know, that is, remember we were talking, the other stuff, it kind of looked like they shoehorned him in or whatever the deal, but I actually like him this make, because he's still kind of grumpy, remember?
Yeah,
So
yeah.
he's got to be kind of grumpy, and you know, the cop edge, I saw it in Dredd, but this is a more human, Thread was just not, So this, I could already see him as a cop. I could even see him as a future cop. But now, hey, this is working. So I like these guys. I like them. I like them.
And Dorian is an android. Wow. I mean, if I were to complain, I would say he's almost too human. But he does bot it up a lot sometimes. And I enjoy that. I like that he does have an emotion chip. I would kind of like to see. Oh, that's nice.
All right, go on. Let me see
I would
that.
like to see, like, if his emotion chip got shut off, or if, like Data had at one point, or if he comes into contact with another rogue Dorian or something like that.
The car of Dorian's, yes.
So I just want to see, like, what all the things that they can do with these characters, because right now they're doing an excellent job. I mean,
Listen, I've always joked that in the world of science fiction, androids and AIs, that storage makes them bitter. You don't want to put stuff, AIs in closets and stuff because they always come back cranky. So I like the fact that Dorian is sort of the old beta model that they pulled out. I like that that's kind of fun. I like that he's going to be exhibiting some twitchy behavior and people are backing up off him because they're like, oh, that's like Windows 3.1 running around. I don't think I'm safe. He's armed, that's cool. I like that flakiness about the unpredictability about him. But that also means, like you said, that there are other models like him. Probably, like cleaning intakes, like old Doc Zimmerman, and so
Oh, thank
that
God.
hang around doing stuff that we're gonna get to see,
I
and
can't
that'll
wait.
because we know, they have a bad reputation, so some of them are loose out there doing
Well,
stuff.
yeah, and he kind of ran into himself because they were using his tech in the sex bots. And I thought it was really powerful that he was sad that the one sex bot got deactivated and we watched her kind of die, as it were. But it was just a deactivation, and a lot of the humans were kind of,
Oh, you,
assholeish
it,
about it and just was like,
more than a
sorry.
deactivation. They destroyed her because she was the human DNA.
DNA, which is so cool. I mean, this if I keep telling you to watch Total Recall 2070, that TV show from what the 90s or whatever, because this reminds me of that show and
Look.
why I
Okay,
loved it.
you want to go back? Here's the show that it ought to remind you of. Man and Machine is what this is, with Yancey Butler and that other guy.
What?
So if Man and Machine, you're going, what? Because see, you're just a newbie. You're a newbie. You need to be rolling old school sci-fi like the vets. Man and Machine
Carl, I'm
is.
not 60 years old like you are.
Thanks, and I know it. That's what I'm telling you. You need to appreciate it. Listen to your elders when I say
My
Man and
God.
Machine is really what Almost Human would have been like with like a tenth of the budget and with 90s writing. I mean, it was you Google it and you'll see. So what
No.
they really need to do, what they really need to do is, except the cop android in Man and Machine happened to be a woman.
Oh.
And her name was, I mean, her the actor who played her was Yancey Butler.
Is that
So
Witchblade or?
yes, that
Oh, okay.
Witchblade girl. So they need to sneak Yancey Butler in an episode
That
of
would be
Almost Human.
awesome.
If they could do that, if they could pull that off, that would just clinch. I'd be like, that's it.
Well, I
That's like two
mean,
doctors at a time in one episode. I'd be like, that's it.
that's
I'm losing it.
nice. Well, I wonder because she has some issues with alcoholism,
You don't
and
have
it
to
was a
put
lot of.
Yancey's business all out there, but yes,
Well,
I
I'm
know.
proud of her for like being out with it and getting help and stuff like that. So,
Oh,
I just
this could be her chance. I'm
yeah,
telling you,
and
this
because I
is.
want to see her on TV again. I wasn't trying to be belittle her issues or whatever, but yeah, I just really It would be really good to see her do something like that, make, a lot of people proud of her. So,
I would like to see that a lot. I would like to see that a lot.
What else? 3 episodes. Oh my God. Have we talked about this enough? I mean, are you going to call me and say, Kat, we didn't talk about blah,
I'm
blah?
sure I will. I'm sure I will because there's so much. But the bottom line is, like I said, there's nothing wrong with it. We don't have to.
That's amazing coming from you, Carl.
Well,
Like, it's.
but you understand why. I mean,
I
this
do
is
know, and
actually
I'm so
something.
excited to
So,
hear this from you.
well, I'm very happy. This is quite watchable. Let me tell you.
Carl is happy, guys.
When the pilot came on, all right. So here's the issue. I had my lady friend was over, and I really wanted her to watch it with me, but she's just not down with it. Let me tell you, y'all, it's rough having a woman who's not into sci-fi. It's killing me. It's killing me. So she decided that she wanted to watch. I think Real Housewives of Atlanta was on,
Oh,
so
no.
she's watching that in another room. And I'm sitting down here because I'm watching it with my skeptical eye, right? So my arms are crossed, I'm just like, okay, bring it on. Let's see. And this stuff is happening. And I'm like, I'm laughing, and making all kinds of sounds while the episode is running. And she comes downstairs. She goes, "You look like you're too comfortable. You're having too much fun down here. What are you watching?" I said, I am just partaking of my program. She goes, "You're having more fun than I am upstairs." I said, "Yes, I know." So
Because
I
she
said,
watching some women being all destructive. She
I
need to
just.
be watching Almost Human.
I was trying to look. I was pointing out that Michael Ealy was in it. Like, hey, there's guys you might like. Now
Yeah, you didn't show her Michael
she
Ealy?
wouldn't even try. So
What? Not even with him. Did you like show her?
she
Like,
knows Michael Ealy. She knows Michael Ealy.
and
So
she wasn't. Wow,
not
I don't
I
know. We need to have a discussion.
look. I,
I need to
anything
talk
you
at
could
her.
do, anything you could do, I'd appreciate.
Gonna have to have a talk. Here's a manual to how to handle your Carl.
Very simple. A little olive oil. I'm straight.
Oh my God, stop it.
That freaky? You kind of like that, didn't you?
Stop it. No, I did not. Just stop talking. Just stop it. Oh my God. Okay, I think I'm blushing. So, Almost Human. I think we're gonna stop gushing over it right now because now it's getting embarrassing. But oh my God, Kat is a happy person.
I am as well.
Carl is a happy. We're happy people
Finally.
because we have a show that we absolutely love. Now, yes, now we're not going to talk about that, but for right now, this is happiness
There
right
you go.
now.
There you go.
All right. So, the next thing on our robot list, do we want to go Pacific Rim?
Hit it. Yes.
Yes. So, Pacific Rim. So, I extremely regret not seeing this in theaters.
Shame on you, woman. Because I tried to get you to go.
I know it was the summer. I was having issues. We'll talk about that one day. But I just finally, I don't know, I was in a mood to just, I was curious. And so I watched it, and it's my new ID4.
Let me tell you, I was really curious to hear what your opinion of this movie was going to be, because he okay. My official verdict about Pacific Rim is it is the absolute dumbest movie that I could absolutely love. In fact, I'm telling you, somehow it found this freakish balance because it is really, really dumb, but it is really, really beautiful. And I
I
don't
love
just mean the,
it.
so okay, so let me tell you, let me tell you why I like it and why I thought maybe you wouldn't. All right.
Oh, really? You didn't think I'd like
I thought maybe you wouldn't. I really didn't. I wasn't
it?
sure. That's why I said I wanted to hear.
Interesting.
Here's the thing. Pacific Rim is beautiful because it is the movie that we anime, manga, old, Japanese animation fans have been waiting for. I mean, we have been waiting for this live action giant robot. This is, you know, before Voltron. This is before you're going. I mean, this we've been waiting to see a live action version of this forever, since forever. What, you know, with Robotech, you can take it back. Macross, you keep going back. And the fans know, you know, they know exactly what I'm talking about, where this giant robot genre has been around forever in anime. And so you've wondered what the heck has taken so long for him to finally break this out in a movie. It was part of why I was so excited about this movie coming out. You know, I have a youthful, sentimental connection to all of that. And so to finally see it come to life, live action, I was very excited about. What's also really interesting is a lot of those elements are sprinkled throughout this movie. I mean, they're just, you can feel the heavy hand of animation. You can feel the heavy hand of the old Voltron. You can feel all of that all throughout the show. I mean, all throughout the movie, it's just there. So it is this super sentimental homage to all of that stuff that we have seen since the 60s, 70s animation. And so it had that kind of sentimental wrapped up connection that I can't let go of to say this movie is great or this movie is bad, because it just checked the boxes in a way that was. I mean, there's even little Godzilla elements in it. It just they just did it like in a sort of a very, like, you know, it's just a sentimental homage. So with all of that, I could not like the movie. I couldn't not like it, because it was just so brilliant to see all of that living and moving, the monsters and the fun. And then you got, you know, this fist fight, you know, between a giant robot and a monster. Come on, go. He just bitch slapped a creature with a battleship, right? It's a cargo ship. He just right across the bow. You know, right? That's fun. You've been waiting for that since you were a kid. That is just fun stuff. So, that being said, you know, I enjoyed. That's what I. So it was bright. It was vibrant. It was so. And so now there are other things that traditional fans of the genre will recognize, and that is well, particularly with this series called Macross or Robotech, there is this romance between a pilot and a young girl, Lin Minmay, that you know holds the story together. So as all, you know, real diehard, you know, anime folks know, there's this sort of romantic youthful love that somehow ties together all the technology and all the, so you know, whatever things go horribly wrong in an anime, suddenly there is going to be this little romance that makes everything right. And so what's so utterly ridiculous, you know, about the old Robotech series is a romance between this young girl and a pilot ends up with her songs helping to sort of save the future. So Lin singing these songs is part of what saves it. It's this crazy, and you know, you've seen it before. It was in Final Fantasy, the first animated film that they made, you know, 3D animated film, where somehow there's this spiritual romance that transcends the event and brings everything together, and that's what say. And technically, you know, it's in the last Matrix film too, which is what people had an issue. Yeah. People had an issue. So that kind of heavy-headed. Well, so okay, so you saw it coming. And I'm not always a fan of seeing that in the anime. You know, you always see it coming. You're like, oh god, here we go. It's that element's gonna come up. So you knew it was gonna, when you saw the young pilot, and you know, when she was young, and oh, but all I've ever dreamed of was piloting one of these mech. Yes, we knew she'd suffered some trauma. We knew somehow she was gonna get into pilot, you know, but of course, it is because she loves her co-pilot that their mental bond is stronger and makes them a better fighting kung fu robot, because the two of them love each other and that brings them together. And you know, now, if this is what I'm saying now, If you're not familiar with the genre, this might seem corny and heavy-handed and a little forced. But if you appreciate it as the homage, as we've seen this so many times in the anime, if you could appreciate it as that, then it's not quite so bad.
That's
So
the same song that I sang for Sucker Punch, but nobody was listening to me.
yeah, well, it's not quite the same thing. But anyway, so also the other issue I was talking about, why I love Almost Human, and I keep using this term, and I've used it before, about the technology being consistent, right? The world and the space and the stuff, the pieces all have to kind of fit together, right? And you come after me, and you say I'm nitpicking, but come on now, come on. I'm just
Nah,
okay. So
yeah,
so
yeah.
so so
Nah,
here
you're
we
right.
so he, here we go now. These folks are capable of building a 15 to 25 story tall robot. It's got, super advanced technology inside of it. It's walking around. But the mechanism for controlling it are these pulleys and levers inside of the thing. Now, they can build a person-to-person brain link where they are sharing their history. They got that interface down. But to pilot a giant walking robot, I'm going to use handles and foot pedals to move this thing around. Here's another thing to consider. All right, here's another little issue to consider. Remember the scene where the robot is well, first they helicopter it out into the lake, and then they drop it down there. Of course, they drop it like what, 8 miles away from the monster that's coming, right? So what does the robot have to do to reach the monster? It has to walk. The robot has to walk to get to the monster. Now, if you are a quote pilot of this robot, right, and your helicopter team has dropped you off 8 miles away from your target, you're trying to prepare for the battle, you're trying to think of what's going on. Watch the movie. He is literally stepping. What for each step that the robot has to take, he is walking this robot. Step. Step. How long does it take? It takes like an hour to get there. Wouldn't you be tired as a pilot? I mean, if every it would be like as a pilot of a plane, having to flap your arms every mile that the plane is in. There's no autopilot on this thing. So I mean, it's just, and you're like, you didn't pick it, but stuff like that. Come on, if you got a giant robot, you got a telepathic
I
link.
was kind of concerned, like, so there's two pilots and they're both moving their feet. How did they coordinate that?
Please. Oh, well, clearly the psychic link allows you to coordinate that. Why foot pedals? That's, I mean, look, here's, okay, here, I'll give you one more little, hypothetical study, all right? Imagine, if you will, there was a technology that was required to, let's say, capture the motion of people. And let's not set in the future. Let's put it now, all right? Let's just say there was a technology necessary where we needed to map and measure the movement of the human body so that we could, figure out how a body moves in space. Would it make sense to put a giant mechanical harness on a person with wires and latches and things hanging on so you can measure every little square inch movement of the body? Or would you like, put some like dots on a suit and a camera further away to simply watch the person's movement and not have them physically confined in this cranky ass? Well, look, I'm just saying. I mean, this concept I know is of motion capture is rather foreign, and I'm sure that'll be years in the future where people might find a need for that. But they used motion capture to make the freaking film. Did no one say, dudes, we don't have like cogs and pulleys on our actor here. Why? Why don't we jazz up the interface inside our giant futuristic robot? I would have loved to have seen some
Oh,
cool heads-up displays
Carl.
or something that was, more futuristic. But
Carl.
no, look, you want your pulleys and your hand cranks, go ahead. That's fine. Why don't you just build the robot out of bamboo? All right, because you have big barrels floating across and have, gunpowder coming out of them. I don't know. So if you're gonna be trying to bring the genre up, bring it into modern times, I respect the homage. I respect it. And okay, before I get the hate mail, I do realize there's this whole community battle between the concept of a wearable suit, which is what these giant robots are supposed to be, wearable, and then the concept of like an more like a ship or a vessel. But look, come on, you got to update the interface a little bit. So that was good.
That was a
Okay.
classic call rant,
So
man.
I'm sorry.
Woo.
Look, I want to see. So like, but do you
You
see what
need
I mean
some
about?
applause,
Do you
brother.
see what I mean about inconsistent technology, though? Come on now.
Yeah,
You got brain to
so.
brain links and then pulleys inside it. I hate that kind of crap. Make the technology consistent so stuff
Calm
will
down,
flow
calm
together.
down. Breathe in a paper bag.
Here's your
Calm
next
down,
one.
calm down.
Here's your next one.
Oh,
And this is
God, breathe.
obvious. This is obvious. Now,
Here we go.
again, it's your homage. It is your homage because I used to love a cartoon called Star Blazers. All right. And it is, again, your classic anime where there's giant spaceships flying and they're fighting other giant spaceships. And the starship that's the main one, depending on who you ask, is the Argo or the Yamato. Point is, it's got a giant freaking gun in it. It's the whole ship is a gun, right? So there's space battle after space battle. What'll happen is, the aliens will attack. And the Yamato is sitting in the center and he's trying to protect all the other ships that are around. And the aliens are coming in and they're sending all their stuff in. Yamato's getting the crap torn out of it. There's stuff shooting at him, getting blown all up, And then, invariably, someone on the bridge will go, "Captain, isn't it time to fire the wave motion gun?" Which is what the gun's called. It's the wave motion gun. And the captain goes, "No, continue firing ineffective ammunition." And just shooting randomly into space. The ship's getting, people are dying, stuff's going on. And you're sitting there going, "Well, you've got a giant, why don't they just shoot the—" More stuff's got to happen, more people got to die. And then finally, the captain gets angry enough to go, "I've got an idea. Why don't we fire the wave mo—" Oh, for God. The ship is two-thirds gun. And so you just wait. Why don't they use the wave mo— All right. So we saw the fist fights between the giant robots and the monsters. That was cool. We saw, take a punch with a cargo ship. That was cool too. They duked it out, swam, got the crap beat out of them, no problem. Robot gets carried nigh into space by one of these monsters. And only then does it dawn on them, "Hey, we have a giant sword that no one has bothered to use for the entire time. Why don't we try? We're about to die now. We're way up in space, the monsters get. Why don't we try the giant impenetrable super sword that we've got here? All right, why don't we see? We see it. That is classic Voltron right there. So that's what I mean. It's just so hammy. You're like, why didn't they start with the sword if that's what you're gonna do? But rather than say that is ridiculous and I can't stand it because it's just a, it is truly, it is in every way an homage to every Voltron episode. Because Voltron's got to get the crap beat out of him before suddenly someone goes, "Hey, wait a minute. I got an idea. Why don't we use this built right on my freaking arm? Why don't we use this right here?" But classic. But it's classic. So that is I'm going to stop the ranting. But
God, man, you had that built up.
sorry, I'm sorry.
I didn't know you had that much built up for you.
See,
I mean, that's
so did
wow.
any of that bother you when you were watching?
So I had a very different film experience. I don't know anything about the anime and the homage to this, that, and the other. What it really reminded me of was ID4,
True.
Independence Day. And so, because it had the heroes talking a lot of crap, I mean, they even had Idris Elba give
Yes.
a "This is our Independence Day"
Yeah.
speech, and he looked like he felt dirty after it too.
He did. The I you he felt a little Morpheus creeping in. He was like, oh, now we dance. I was waiting for him to get the rave butts out after he gave the speech, you know. For tomorrow. Yes,
Yeah, so I mean, it to me had everything Independence Day had. It was big, it was funny, it was ridiculous, and I'm gonna own it. I haven't bought it today, but I'm gonna like buy it like as soon as we get off the phone because I just haven't had a chance. But it's something that, like, you know how A-Team is my go-to movie for just to be happy? Well, this is gonna be my new go-to film because it's just a lot of fun. There's so much to look at. Yes, I do get I see the Godzilla thing. I like the robots, the way they punch these creatures. I like the story of how the creatures come to be. I mean, this could literally be a part two to ID4. Just the creatures are coming through a fissure underground instead of coming in through space. It
it
could.
couldn't be a part two to ID4 because these aliens would have learned how not to die the exact same way that the ones in ID4 did. You see, it's the same technology. You're flying, you're gonna be blow up,
Yeah,
but
well, I mean, these were clones, remember? They weren't actually, they were like when what is Stargate when they send the drone through? Yeah, those what those were. They weren't smart, so they were just laying the groundwork. But I
what?
really enjoyed these. I liked like the little banter with the guy, and he interfaced with one, and it was a two-way thing, and then
I always liked the mad scientist, so I thought that was kind of a fun twist.
Yeah, and the guy from Torchwood was one of the scientists, and
Yes,
that was
yes.
funny. And then what was the guy who played the devil boy, the Hellboy,
Well,
Hellboy.
Ron Perlman.
He was in it, and I just think it was a solid film. I mean, and because I didn't know anything about anime or care either way, so to me it was just enjoyable. And I think anyone who is just a fan of a popcorn film and just, you know, fun and you know, being easy at the movie theater would just enjoy this.
Well, you like to use the term popcorn film a lot, but this time I agree with you because you know I and this like I said, this is why I was curious as to whether you're going to like it or not, because I had so much sentimental connection with all of the old things that I had seen. I couldn't tell if that was clouded by vision, you know, if people who hadn't seen that would still be able to just let go and enjoy the silly
Yeah,
stuff of this film.
I was
So
able
if you
to. Yeah.
All right then. Well, I'm happy.
And even without prompting or you giving me any, you know, telling me how you thought about it or your history with it, I mean, you just like, I'm gonna watch this. And then you was like, yeah, I can't wait to hear what you had to say. And alone by myself with no prompting or anything like that, I mean, I just like it a lot. It's just a lot of fun and it's a lot to look at. And it's great.
Well, something that concerned me about it is I'm not sure the advertising for this film was quite right.
Right, I agree with you.
There were a lot of things that were off about the ad campaign for Pacific Rim, and I really think that it suffered because of that, because I don't think it did that well. I don't think it did that well in the theaters, and that really, really disappointed me because we'd seen a lot of crap, you know. There'd been a lot, and this year, you know, it's been kind of hit and miss with the sci-fi stuff. So when this was coming out, I really wanted it to be good, but I also really wanted it to do well. Because, well, you know, I like Guillermo del Toro, and I just wanted this film to do well, and I had a feeling that maybe there were going to be some problems. When I saw it, It was better than I expected it to be. You know, I guess my expectations had been lowered based upon what I had seen, you know, in the previews or whatever. It was better than I thought. And so I did enjoy it. But I don't think I saw it on opening weekend. I may have saw it, you know, about 2 weeks later. And I hadn't heard a lot about what other people were saying. And that also kind
no,
of
I
concerned.
Heard negative reviews. Really? Also, that people just didn't like it or they didn't get it or whatever. And I think it had John Carter syndrome a little bit because I could not I don't actually recall seeing a trailer, number one. And number two, from the posters, I just really didn't know what it was about.
Well,
and
let me tell you about the posters. You know, all right. So remember how we were joking about the European takes on American films and stuff?
Lockout.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And sometimes, you know, slogans or things, it seems like they need to run them by an American audience before they put them out there, just, you know, just to get a feel for how it's going to go. The catchphrase on the posters for Pacific Rim was "Go big or go home." Right? Is that right? I think it was "Go big or go home." Was it? That is lame. No, I'm sorry. You know, I want to see this film, and when I read that, I'm like, I don't know. You know, that's
kind of
really
like a non-slogan because, like, it doesn't really say anything.
No,
to you.
It doesn't, and it and much like, you know, Idris's speech, it's a little. It's you get what it was trying to do, but it's not quite. And so, you know, the mix of the campaign, I did see the ads for it beforehand. The ads just didn't quite do it justice. And I'm not quite sure, you know, it didn't seem as exciting as the movie ended up being. It didn't seem as powerful as what, you know, and as fun as what we ended up seeing. And I think that really it had a budget of something like 190 million, maybe $200 million bucks. You know, which is understandable. I mean, it is on par effects-wise with what you would see in, like, Transformers.
Yeah.
But the campaign for it just did. And, oh, by the way, here's the other thing. When I was watching it, and I'm watching the battle between the monsters and the robots, I enjoyed it so much more than Transformers because, you know, Bay,
not hard.
But, you know, well, look, but Bay likes to do the shaky camera blur and flash what's going on, and I, you know, he trades speed for clarity, you know, because when we're watching a battle in Transformers, we have no idea who is who. You can't tell who the good guy is, who the bad guy is. It's just a blur. Well, let me tell you, Battle of Pacific Rim, you knew who the monster was and who the robot was. And, you know, and you can see some actual duking it out, you know, some fists going in
well,
there.
They were different textures. You had a robot and a monster.
But
so.
That's what I'm saying is, you know, that helps tremendously, you know. Yeah. So that, but for this to have been such a sentimental recreation, I don't know where things went wrong with Pacific Rim because, you know, like I said, it was kind of dumb with some of the stuff that they did in it, but it was dead on with the genre. And I'm surprised that it didn't do better, and I'm not quite sure what happened there because
I think towards, like, when it came out, I think there's like a point in the summer when people get film fatigue and they've seen so many films that it's just like, oh God, not one more. And I think it came at that one time, whenever it was released, it was just exhaustion at that point. Like I always go in to the season really strong, seeing everything. And then I just kind of fall off because I get exhausted. And that's where Pacific Rim, you know, was. So, yeah. but I saw it again and I didn't know what to expect. And I was like, well, I'm going to rent this out because I don't know what this is about and I don't know what's going to go on. But I do tell you, Carl, I know ID4 is not everyone's favorite film, but it just has a soft spot for me. And as nostalgic as you felt about the anime and blah and that stuff, it just had that it had what Lockout was trying to do.
Oh, how dare you? How dare you, madam?
So Lockout was trying to capture that American machismo and the quick wit and the one-liners, and it just did not go well.
No,
But
it did not.
Pacific Rim had it, and it worked, and everybody, it was like, wasn't there
I
was
gave
no
you a full.
American on set, was, I mean, maybe one or a couple, but it seemed like it was a lot of foreign actors, and it was super enjoyable.
Yeah, they did manage to pull off the machismo, even if Idris' speech was a little too long.
Oh
It
my God.
still is, and you know, when you stop and you look back on the film, you know, it had a lot going on with it. That's the other thing. It wasn't, you know, dumb and superficial. It was really trying to do the rich kind of storytelling that you would expect from anime. So, you know, there's the little romance going on. There's the nobility of trying to prove yourself to your captain and your mentor. There was the scientists, you know, doing their little thing on the side. There was the slight backstory with the aliens. You know, we got a little glimpse into their world and what was going on. There was the fun of the technology and the guys that built the robots. And so there was really, you know, you gotta, it's easy to overlook how much was going on in the film. But and when you stop and you do, you know, it gets a little bit more respect, you know. And I and of course the fact that it was there was a female, you know, lead technically, you know, she was technically the lead, and you know, she was the co-lead.
If it wasn't for the hotness of the guy, she was super obnoxious, but it was like the guy and everything else was so strong in the film that I was able to overlook her, especially because she mostly had scenes with either, let's see, Charlie or Idris. And so I was always distracted by one of those two men. But if it weren't for those two guys and her interacting with them, and like if she had to hold the film on her own, I don't know.
Okay, well, all I'm gonna say is homage, because fans of Robotech may not be the biggest fans of Lin-Manmei, who is like the lead. She's the lead, the co-star of the series. Many people have found her to be a bit abrasive. And the craziest thing is, remember I told you that it's her song that helps, like, you know,
Yeah, that
helps
doesn't
things.
even make sense. I
No,
don't know what that
hang on now, hang
means.
on. What's even funnier when you step back and it, Lin-Manmei can't sing. All right, and when you stop, she has a terrible singing voice. All right, so when you watch it, you're like, holy crap. And so there are these moments when you know she's going to start singing, and you're like, oh, jeez, no, but. She kind of feels like, you know, she's got that kind of secondary
I'm
feel.
so glad that there was no singing.
Oh, I was afraid there might be, honestly. I was like, are they gonna go there with the homage? Are they gonna go there? But
Well,
yeah,
she got to fight, which was cool, but
yes, she did.
I'm so super glad that there were no singing. Because that would have hurt the film.
I,
That
you
would
know,
have sucked a lot of
now,
scenes.
while again, I would agree it might have hurt the film. That would have been a hella homage. I mean, the Robotech people would have just thrown their hands up in the air at that point, like, oh, jeez, they didn't do that. They did that. The feeling smashing. Oh, they know it. They know it.
No. Just calm down.
That wasn't for you, Kat. They're laughing at home, though. They have that.
Oh God. But yeah, so I was surprised.
And yes, I will also own this one. I'm getting Pacific Rim. So
Yeah.
I and
So
it's pretty too. The effects are really nice. This is
yeah.
it's a pretty film. It's just vibrant all around. And what I particularly liked were the end credit sequence. Ooh, those special effects were fabulous, and they looked so crisp and rich. Someone we know worked on the closing credits.
Oh, wait. Who worked on the closing credits?
think it's I think it was does Will do the 3D animation? He's out in California doing 3D animation.
Yes.
Hang on. It's either Will or Ryan. One second.
Oh, it must have been Ryan.
Ryan, yeah. Yeah.
Ryan did those?
Part of it. He was part of it. Yep.
Ah, Ryan. I do recall him saying something about that.
Yep. I was trying to see his name in the credits, but there were so many freaking names in the credits. But yes, I did actually.
He must be on IMDb now.
I would hope.
We know a superstar.
Here you go. See, bring it. So, yes, I enjoyed the end credits, particularly because I thought it was something. I thought the kind of murky black blueprint life was kind of neat. I actually did like it.
I have to watch them again because I don't remember them. And I was like, well, I think I remember. Was it so? I don't know. I don't remember them.
Well, go back and check it.
I will watch them again
because we know some folks there.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Good
That's
work.
Super exciting. Yeah. Yeah. So Pacific Rim. That was pretty good.
I enjoyed that
yeah,
one.
Yeah. So our third robot themed film in our robot extravaganza is Elysium.
Elysium.
And yes. We both watched that for the first time today, right?
Sure did.
Oh
sure
my
did.
God, I just could have sworn that you saw it already.
No, I was waiting for you because remember I kept saying, have you seen it yet? Have you seen it? Because I was waiting to see it with you and you know, you're doing your thing this year and I got busy with other stuff.
I'm going to be doing my thing until 2015. So yeah.
Bang.
Yeah. But so, Elysium. I wasn't that excited about this one going in because, I mean, I don't see Matt Smith. I mean, I'm sorry, not Matt Smith. You know, and I'm looking at a picture of Matt Smith. Sorry. Matt Damon as a sci-fi action hero. I did not quite know what Elysium was going to be about, really. And I mean, even with the trailers, I knew kind of what it was going to be about, but not like the soul of the film. And then there's the District 9 baggage. Not that I didn't enjoy District 9. I was so traumatized by District 9 that I haven't seen it again since my first time.
Are you serious? Really?
I can't with that film because I do not like insects. So,
there were no insects in Elysium.
I know that. Well, no, there were not. But the thing is I loved District 9 a lot. That was a really great film for me, but I still, like, I just can't watch it again for maybe one day, but I have to be mentally prepared. So I was really concerned about how this would go down and what was going to happen and how grossed out I was going to be by it. Elysium was not available for rent anywhere, so I have to buy it. So now I own this shit.
All right.
And I won't say that I'm upset, but it is not something that I would have bought. I would watch it again, maybe if I was doing laundry or something. It wasn't a horrible film, but it was kind of predictable. Matt, I would have appreciated it more if they had a male Latino lead because he seemed out of place. Mm-hmm. I liked, Charlto Copley? I don't know his name. That guy that was in District 9.
Oh, yeah, the Kruger guy.
Yeah, Kruger, who was also in Europa Report and A-Team. I love this guy. He's been in so many great films. And he's just such a great actor to me. And he was so different. Like, he was like the big bad here. Yeah. And he was like really huge. And it's just not a role that I ever would see him in. But he was successfully creepy.
Oh, yes. He pulled it off.
Yeah. So I love that about it. They had a lot of things going on with what the movie was about. I mean, this could have been sweatshops in Bangladesh versus American corporations.
Wait a second. Are you saying that there was a message in this film?
just Look. was about health care for the masses.
It was
This
about
was about,
immigration.
yeah, undocumented workers and illegal immigration.
Haves and have nots.
Yeah, my goodness.
So, you know, Blomkamp, he has a habit of very subtly weaving social commentary into his films. All right, I just, you know, it's just a dash. It's hard to see if you're not paying attention, but it's a sprinkle of this in his films. So, you know, I still haven't narrowed, you know, nailed down what District 9 was about. But you know, I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to ask. So yes, I may have noticed that as well. But you're right about the casting. If you're right, if they had put a Hispanic guy in there, Latino Hispanic guy as the lead, I think that would have added something. That would have.
But
felt
I don't know,
like
who they would have gotten. Like I don't have a list of Latino actors right off.
Yeah,
the top.
Yeah, but so, yeah, that would have felt right. Yeah,
yeah, because he's just everybody else was.
Speaking Spanish around him, you know, yeah.
It was respectable, but it's just like, well, what are we even doing here? Like, why is Matt Damon? And I don't have a problem with Matt Damon. I mean, Matt Damon, like I sent out a tweet, Matt Damon is a gangster. I love him, right? But it just was weird.
I am with you on the casting. He casted as the lead. It took something from the film for me. He did a fine job, but even in the previews, when I saw that he was that character, I was like, oh, really? I don't know.
He's not that guy for that.
Yeah. But I let it go. I let that go. Whenever Blomkamp makes his films, he makes beautiful films. They are just... The look of them is just blisteringly real, and they're crisp. They cut your eye with the crispness of them. I love his stuff. So I just love the spaces that he created, from the slums to, you know, the orbiting Elysium. Everything was just beautiful. And the technology I thought was, you know, janky cool. You know, he has this way of making a toolbox tech out of everything. You know, it's not clean and smooth, and you know, and you know, it always looks like it's made out of car parts. You know,
it's very Firefly.
You know, everything he's got, you know, it's pistons and air filters and, you know, chainsaw blades. It always feels like that. But man,
that's real though. I like that.
Yeah. So the effects in the world, you know, me talking about consistency, he creates beautiful worlds. Beautiful worlds. There was nothing inconsistent about the tech in Elysium. I really thought all of that was pretty and well done. So it was.
It looked like I could have built Matt Damon.
Yeah, out of your screen door, you know, pieces out of your storm shutters, and
order some stuff from Adafruit.
With a GoPro cam slammed in the back of his head. Yeah, I think they went a little too, you know, the toolbox with his outfit actually,
I enjoyed that though, because it just felt like, you know, these people are not going to have a lot. I mean, because look at them. They could barely get a washcloth and wash their faces off. I mean, for the love of God, you know, if you're going to be poor, you can get a washcloth and wash your face off. You don't have to. Okay, anyway, that's my rant. But I wouldn't want them in Elysium. But, you know, they deserve health care, but they're not clean enough for.
Stop it.
Yeah, let me stop. Send your hate mail to Robo Ministry.
Dad, stop it. Stop it. So yeah. All right. So the environment was great. I thought
one
that
thing,
was...
and I'm sorry, I don't want to cut you off, but the environment, you say he creates beautiful environments. I just felt that it was a little predictable because I've seen the District 9 type of slum before. So when I saw it again, but instead of South Africans, they were Hispanic Latino people. I didn't really
Central America.
What?
Central America. Yeah, I was backing you up.
What was it, Central America?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just saying that's what it was feeling like and would be consistent with the immigration theme that we didn't notice.
Okay. So I don't know. I felt like I've seen that before, and I want to see a better or a new type of slum from him, I guess. But yeah, that's the only thing I wanted to say about the environment. So.
I'll give you that. It did absolutely feel like I'm totally with you on that. And here's the thing. You'll get a new kind of slum because this feels a lot like the recreation of, okay, going back to our anime. There's a series called a manga and animation series called Battle Angel, which has this cloud city where the well-off are above, and then the slums on Earth, and the garbage that kind of falls from that city is what everybody on Earth has to dwell in and survive and make their way. And there's even a scene where somebody's got to patch something together out of the trash that they find that turns out to be this the hero kind of thing. It feels very similar. But the reason I say you'll get to see a new kind of slum because James Cameron bought the rights to that, so he's going to which is problematic. Because when I watch Elysium, it immediately made me think of Battle Angel in terms of the haves, the have-nots, the sky city, people on Earth living in trash and trying to ascend,
Yeah, but
all that.
Cameron is going to take it that one step. Like, whereas this one was really real and gritty, and you feel like that could actually happen, and you can reach inside of your screen and touch his world. James Cameron, his worlds, even his slum, is going to be beautiful, and nobody's going to be able to touch it. Nobody's going to
Well,
be able to come close to it. I mean, he's going to outdo it
I don't know
like.
if this is going to be beautiful, but what I think, if because you like you said, you want a different kind of slum, he might pull off something that's like a real world Wall-E Earth, because it's supposed to be the trash, literal the trash from the above society that people on Earth are living in, so, and that's it's that's that element of the
So
jump.
that's problematic for me because if they're living, oh, so they're living in the sky, not outer space.
Well, no. Well, you see, I don't know how they're going to do it, but in Battle Angel, it is supposed to be super sky, like really, really up in the sky.
Okay, well, I was just like, well, why if they're in space with their trash falls, wouldn't it go into the but then you said in sky, so I guess it would fall to Earth, but why would they want it to fall to Earth? Isn't that weird? I mean, if they're like really up in, couldn't they just like launch it off into space? I mean, they're up there already, so I mean,
Maybe they're recycling. I don't know. I
whatever.
don't. But anyway, but so it's going to be problematic because again, the haves, have-nots themes are very similar. And I'm curious to see how that's going to
Holy shit,
fly.
I just figured out how we're gonna get dyes and runoff and pollution from textiles off of the planet, man. Space elevator, man. Yeah.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, according to Battle Angel, they'll use the space elevators to build the ascendant cities. They're not going to use it to send junk up there. But hey, you might have
No,
a better.
you build a city up there, and from that city, you build your
Trash
manufacturing.
launcher.
No, yeah, trash launcher, and you launch it into space, and you make sure like it heads to like either the sun or Mars or someplace where we don't have to like pollute the earth.
Well, that
Yes, it's pie in the sky, literally, but whatever. Okay, I'm sorry. I've been doing school too much. I'm sorry. Because we've been trying to come up with a solution on how we can get manufacturing to be less toxic to the environment and stuff like that. So, okay.
New manufacturing technologies are
Yeah.
necessary,
Yeah.
more advanced bio as well as
Yeah,
nanotechnology would help.
because I mean, but yeah, but even the third world countries that are doing making clothes for us now, they don't have this stuff. They're still like, hand dyeing things and
Using mercuries and that
Yeah,
kind of stuff.
and then the runoff is going into their water supply and stuff like that. So, it's not like mainly us who are doing the pollution, and because we don't have clothing manufacturing in the U.S. as much anymore. But we farm it out to these other countries who don't have the sophisticated technology or understand the effects of that stuff has on the environment, and they're just
Or
like,
more
screw it.
importantly, the EPA
Yeah, they
regulations
don't have the
keep them
regulations
from
either.
that.
And
So what you're saying is there are places like Earth Elysium on Earth right now.
Yes. Yes, they are. And I guess that's what the film was trying to portray in totally not a heavy-handed way.
No, I barely even noticed. Yes. Barely noticed. So story-wise, I'm with you on the fact that it was predictable. What frustrated me about the film is as beautiful and as advanced as the environment was, and even the concepts that they were, you know, the brain hacking was cool. Mm-hmm. The idea of, you know, the codes of the orbital world being shared, and the, you know, the presidency's locks and the bio beds, you know, the what do we call it?
Stargate sarcophagus.
The sarcophagus. I really liked that. There was so much more that could have been done story wise with Elysium. And for it to be kind of a chase disappointed me. And you know what disappointed me the most? Mm-hmm. You know, here's probably the best example, the most tangible example of missed opportunity in Elysium. Jodie Foster.
What? I know, dude.
Jodie Foster.
They pulled out Jodie freaking Foster
now,
for this crap.
The character that she was could have been so powerful and more interestingly diabolical, could have been so much more powerful in how the story ended, you know, in terms of, yeah, you know, we're going to get her in the end. You know, something that could have been so much more. And to have her, spoilers, get stabbed in the neck, lay down and die. That was it. That was it. They just jabbed her in the neck and she died. And she just looked over and said,
no.
Enough.
Oh, she said enough? I thought she said no. And I was just like, what? That's Jodie freaking Foster. Not that chick that looked like Jodie Foster in that horrible movie Branded that you made me watch. But Jodie Foster actual.
And remember, she was not Jodie Foster. She was Jodie Foster Helen Hunt clone.
Oh, yes.
But you see, that is symbolic, that is not even like a word. That is that is the epitome of Elysium. You have something as budget thingy, right? Something as majestic, as beautiful, and complex as Jodie Foster, and you just stab her in the neck and lay her down. And that is it. That is the summary of Elysium. Because they had so much to work with. It was so rich. And so, I mean, the casting, good people, all. And then
I'm surprised she even took that role.
I think she probably thought it was going to be more too. You know, she knows the guy. I mean, you know, she knew
that's
he does.
Not, I mean, it's like I'm just thinking, Jodie Foster's in this shit. This is about to be Contact Part 2, son.
Yes. And she kind of looked like it. You know, she was rocking that suit. It's like, oh, here we go. I'm okay to go. I'm okay to go, Jodie.
Contact boy.
So
such was not the case.
So that's what I'm talking about, you know, in terms of disappointment. I mean, maybe they had a contract dispute because it simply made no sense that she didn't make it to the end of this film. She should have been in that control room when Matt Damon stumbles in there and is about to die and is trying to download his you know his data into that system. Something about her being there at that time would have made, you know, the bounce between the haves and the have a face off between the haves and the have nots at that moment, her seeing her empire fall as, you know, the have nots are finally getting what they deserve. There was power.
Yeah, she needed to see that.
So how in the hell are you gonna just leave her on the floor in the armory? It just made no sense.
And I wanted it to seem, to bounce off what you just said, I wanted to see some of her family members be devastated at the fact that they no longer have their pristine place to live. No one was devastated. All they did was get some cops, and they had, like, Captain from Star Trek 2009 in there doing stuff. And
I was getting into trouble, that guy, yeah.
That guy, yeah. And so it's
you know that is a very
it felt like Lucas was writing this shit.
Well, it wasn't that bad. But you know, that is a good point though, because now that you mention it, we never really got to see the people of Elysium. You know, there was a potential to have that whole kind of Gattaca, you know, crime kind of thing going on, where we could have, you know, gotten known just to, if, I mean, here's, if there had been a moment where, when the first set of refugees had busted into that house and laid the girl down on the healing machine, the sarcophagus, whatever you call it, if at that moment, just like a mother and her daughter came down to see what was going on, and of course they're in all blinged out, clean and healthy, and they're looking at the, you know, the have not family staggering in there just to try to heal their daughter, just to get one moment of seeing, you know, between from their eyes what they thought, just to get a feel for what the people of Elysium would have thought, you know, just. Would they have turned their nose up like, oh, you know, oh, we're going to have to replace that bit, to know them that way, or to see them, you know, looking scared like, oh, that's all they wanted? Like, maybe it's in, and to see them being upset by the robots dragging them out, you know, for deportation. Stuff like that. That's a simple, simple missed opportunity just to have given us a little bit more of what was going on. So, you know, that's the problem. That was the problem with it. It was so much to work with, so many opportunities, that they just, you know, just one that literally would have been 20 seconds.
That would have. And you know what this, the, you know what did this same theme, but did it better in Time with Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah. Gattaca in Time. You know, you can feel, cause it, which when you said it, that's what made me think, well, dang, you know, we, at least in those films, we got to see and experience who the haves were, you know, what those people were like. The only quote have we saw really was Carlisle, you know, the guy, the millionaire, you know, and Jodie Foster, for what little we saw of her. That was it. That's the only, you know, Elysium class folks we got to see. And that's a waste.
He too was from Invasion.
Oh yeah. No, I like him. I like him. He's always interesting in the stuff. Mm-hmm. So yeah. It's beautiful. I like the potential of what it should have been. I can watch it again because it just
feels. You can't, or you can?
I can okay. Watch it again. But it's just, it feels like a really missed opportunity, and I don't understand how he dropped the ball on that.
Yeah, it started to get into mustache twirly territory, just with Kruger going around doing his whole thing. I mean, him getting like grenaded in the face and then coming back together was pretty cool.
That was cool. Yes, but, yes, I like that.
But it's him being a bounty hunter never really made sense. Like, why is he there? Why is he like that? What is he for? Why did they exist? You know.
By the way, can I just throw on my technique nitpick?
Okay.
So why is it that when they resequenced and reconstructed his face, it included the beard? I'm just, you know, it could be some advanced technology. I understand. But, you know, the regeneration, they could just rock the crazy beard to the 300 beard at the same time. You're going to bring that back.
This is Sparta.
You saw it now, right? That's what I said. You're like, oh.
I was wondering, like, does he have on black contacts? What's with the beard? It's like it was pasted on. Yes. But I was like, you know, that's like the least of the problems. So I'm not really going to process that information. So yeah, I don't know how this did in box office, and you know what, I'm not gonna look it up. I don't care that much, but I just haven't really heard anybody, you know, saying Elysium was my shit. You know, I mean, have you heard anybody
excited about it? You know, this summer, that's what I'm talking about when I say it's been an interesting kind of summer, because in years past, when stuff came out, if I did not see it opening weekend, you know, my buddies, people are spoiling it all around. People are yelling, oh, that was a scene, and I love this spot, and this was really great. Stuff came and went this year, And it was just silence all around. I mean, serious. I mean, think about Riddick. Think about Kick-Ass.
Oh, crap. Team. We need about, to see Riddick.
See how I'm yelling these things out? You're like, oh, that's right. You know, the fact that we are just seeing Elysium now, this is it's been an off kind of
is it just us? Stuff. Because I know I've been busy with school, folks. I'm sorry. I'm a scholar right now, so
I've been busy too. But the thing is we also had to be motivated. You know, we did manage to see Iron Man. You know, we did get to see some of the big ones. I'm not saying you know what, but we did manage to see those. But you know,
I saw Thor. Opening weekend.
I know you saw. But you know, there was a lot of stuff that just kind of came and went, and it was that's disappointing. And now, oh yeah, the Wolverine. You know, there's
oh,
like
yeah,
a
I saw that.
Lot of stuff. But so yeah, it was interesting.
Did you see Wolverine?
Not yet.
What?
Yeah.
You know what? Wolverine was kind of good. It was really good.
Look, we're not gonna talk about that until we see it together. Then we'll do a
I've
show.
Seen it.
Yeah, but then we'll do a show on Wolverine. See, we just don't worry about
well,
it.
Well, then but you should have seen it in order for us. That I mean, we haven't done a show because you haven't seen it.
Just the same reason we hadn't done Elysium yet. We're gonna do it.
Okay, fine. Whatevs. So Elysium, I think we could quite possibly be bored of talking about. I mean, have we talked about all the characters? We talked about Jodie. Because what I'm trying to prevent is your sci-fi parents arguing again.
Yeah. No. Because that was a different case. So unless you got something else, I mean, I'm just. It was a missed opportunity, and that is the only thing. You know, that is the summary of Elysium. It's everything was in place for this to be kind of epic, and it was nice.
The marketing campaign was super epic.
Yeah, it was good.
That was it.
Yeah. I thought it was.
So, I mean, I wouldn't talk bad. I wouldn't say that anyone needs to hang their head in shame for Elysium, but you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. So do we have anything more to talk about robots? Any robot news? Any sex bots out there? Or
well, if you want the robot news, what was interesting is right after I watched Elysium, you know, I changed the channel and on CNN, they did a little news story about the ReWalk system, which is a harness for people with paralysis, people who have paralyzed legs. It is a harness that you strap your legs and your, you know, your hips and your thighs into, and it walks. It stands, you know, you need your cane or, you know, or walkers or whatever, but you're no longer confined to a wheelchair. It'll stand you up and then you can walk. And was there a problem?
You're shopping for tech, old man.
I might need it someday. Come on now. Come on. But the point is it looked so much like, you know, the harness from Elysium. I mean, to stop the film and then to switch right on to that and it be the news and it be what's happening. Man, you know, that's cool. That's, you know, that's how that technology of science fiction is really starting to catch up with us and to see how it impacted this guy, you know, in the story. You know, talking about how when he was finally able to stand up and, you know, and see his son again that way, that tech, you know, the tech is coming. This stuff that we're seeing is not just in the future. So, you know, hey, I thought that was really cool.
That's cool. One more thing about Elysium. How did you feel about Matt Damon dying in the end? Spoiler, whatever.
Well, see, Blomkamp again. So, you know, think about Pacific Rim. I mean, Pacific Rim. Think about
District 9.
You know, he's got this way of, and you know, I'm always joking about the European influence, not liking to end with closure. You know, the heroic end, you know, where the guy that you've been supposedly cheering for, you know, meets an ill end. I find that frustrating. You know, life tends to not have closure. I don't want to pay for that. You know, I don't want to pay my hard-earned money. And see, I want the good guys to win. And at an abstract, higher moral level, the good guy did win in this film. But man, come on, you know,
did you work for it?
So I was not thrilled, but because I know, the director, I kind of suspected, because I mean, it's District 9. You got the quote hero breaking down during the whole film, trying to fight through that and trying to survive. And when it's over, is he okay or is he not? It's a little familiar, a little
Yeah.
familiar.
I didn't mind the hero dying,
Well, that's
because I
because he
think.
didn't really care that much for Matt Damon. That's
Well, no, I
how
don't hate Matt Damon. I think I like Matt Damon a lot. He's very comfortable to watch.
I need him
I
to
think he
roll.
shines in like what was the
Born Identity.
special, yeah, the Bourne films, because his kind of whatever he does as an actor works there. It didn't necessarily entirely work here, but I like that his character died, just because, I mean, it just made sense for this particular film, and it just made me think of how I thought Harry Potter should have died at the end, and he just kept going, and it just kind of diluted the strength of the end of the whole series to me. Because like now he's just a dad wearing dad jeans and being
Driving his
lame.
kid to the train
Yeah, it's
station.
just like lame. But I wanted to go out in a flame, in a heroic flame. I mean, end, because it's a story, and it would have, I don't know, it would have felt more powerful. And so him dying made up for a not for everything in the film, but I think it was a nice touch. Now, why he could not be carried to the sarcophagus and healed is not explained and does not make sense, but whatever.
I'm going to explain it this way, and I think this is
No,
their
I
out.
don't agree with you,
Let's
Carl.
let, let's just let me let me tell you. This is their out, and they told us early on what it was. The out is when the rich CEO encoded the data, encoded and protected the data in his brain. He chose right away that there be a lethal lock on it. Which means that if you try to poke at the data and you're not the authorized user, it's going to kill you.
Oh, that's why we had to sit through that.
That's what that was about.
Ugh.
So that explains why. So it wasn't, a simple recovery of his body. It's because this encryption thing is in his brain. The instant you try to take it out, it destroys your brain because you weren't the proper user. So
Right.
we're going to say that and leave it at that.
Well, that's kind of good. That's kind of a
Yes.
good security feature,
This is
because I wonder about like iPhones and people like cutting your thumb off to get into your phone and stuff like this.
yep. Well, you got something that secure. You got to go to extreme measures.
Yeah, but they still didn't stop him from stealing it. But he died.
Yeah.
So
Well,
if it's
that's
worth your life, I guess. I don't know. Whatever. So
but.
that is our robot show. How do you feel, Carl? We did a whole show.
I'm
It's
happy.
like, yeah.
I've missed them. I mean, seriously, you think I've wanted to wait this long? The only other robot that we have seen in like 4 years was what's his name from Prometheus? Think about it. That's it. What's
No,
going
it had to
on?
be something else, man.
All right, I'm open. Who else you got? Yell them out.
Somebody have something.
I mean, you're probably yelling something, but seriously, really, it ain't been many. Ain't been many.
Oh, God. Okay.
Well,
Well,
did you think of one?
no,
What?
I didn't think of that, but it's just because you put me on the spot.
Well, I mean, I'm open to suggestions.
Cyberman.
That doesn't count, really.
Yeah, it
There
doesn't really
hadn't been
count.
enough of them
That's
anyway.
not a, it's been too many of them. I don't really want to see any more Cybermen, so yeah, no of them. Anyway, folks, that's our show. We'd love your feedback. Give us a call, 773-336-2686.
Wait a
And what
minute.
the
Wait,
what the what
wait,
the
wait,
what
wait.
the what?
You can't, we have completely abandoned our cool late night robot
Oh,
theme. And
oh, oh, oh.
we have to at least close. We have to
Okay.
at least close
Well,
with,
you got some,
that.
Carl? Because
Not,
me, I don't,
at least do it like a sexy phone line operator.
Oh,
You're
oh,
given
oh,
phone numbers. Go ahead and do that. Just do
oh. Ooh,
that
baby, give me a call. That's the, I'm not where, I'm not there. Why don't you do something? Do it on the smooth tip. I feel so
Ha
lame. Close out
Oh.
the show, Carl. Close it out, bro.
Well, yeah, all right, let me see. I'll see if I can think of it. Okay. All right, now we want to thank you for joining us on another exciting episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line. Now, you relax and kick back with your sex bot tonight and try not to think about the infighting between mom and dad here. But we want to hope that you'll enjoy some quiet time, just you and your own little DVD player right by yourself tonight. Kat, why don't you close it out for us tonight?
Go to our website where you can see the sexy stylings of Carl. And that is Sci-Fi Party Line.
Yeah, baby. All night.
Give us a call on our line. That line is 773-336-2686. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Google Plus, and all that. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show. We will see you at the party next time. Bye.
Bye. Background noise, or other than me now moving in the couch, which I will stop momentarily.
Yeah, don't do that.
Okay.
You sound super comfortable.
Oh, I am in the recliner, feet kicked back. I got a pillow behind my head.
See, once I learn how to record on my Mac, that's how my setup is gonna be. We like right good. Now, I still don't. I mean, I know how. Eric told me how. Aww. Here we go.
Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that.
Could you pour it on a plate and then, eat it?
Well, look, if I do it, then I have to get back up again.
Oh, my God.
See, I'm uncomfortable.
A quiet napkin to put it in? I mean, Jesus. What is wrong with you? I mean, you eat all the time, and you're just like a skinny little tiny thing. What's up with that?
I burn up all that energy with brain power. It's what happens. Pure mental.
Oh, excuse me, sir.
Brain is where it goes.
What are you?
Well, I'm trying to find a plate. You said get a plate. I'm trying to get a plate.
A quiet plate. A quiet plate. Like a paper one or something that doesn't make noise.
All these requirements. I'm feeling a little oppressed here. Oh, these are stale.
You had hours to eat. You knew this was coming for hours, and you wait until now to eat, Carl.
I was programming. I was trying to do my work before
you
this.
You doing nothing.
I was coding. I was trying to get my work done.
That and code. Can you just clack, clack, clack? Bite, clack,
no,
clack.
It's not the biting. It's the preparing that's the problem. So, you see, I still haven't even have a real meal. All right, let's do this, girl. I'm ready.
Man, I don't even...
You see, you're the sexy woman. You were supposed to be doing it.
Oh, really? That's you going to put it off on me?
Yes.
That's how you do.
You were supposed to do
it. Make me open my own damn door, too, wouldn't you?
No, well, depends on who got there first.
Carl!
Yeah.
What is wrong with you? You're giving the wrong answer, man. I asked you if you would save me in a zombie apocalypse. You say if the dude had more, if he had friends, lots of friends, you would go with him and not me. You wouldn't save me. I am your friend. I've been knowing you since Terminator Salvation.
I don't know what
That
you're
has
talking
got
about.
to mean something. If there's a zombie apocalypse, you're supposed to save me.
Don't you really, you would have pushed me under the zombie
What are
bus
you kidding
for
me?
a
I
night
value you. No, really?
four?
You think that
Are you
little
gonna
me that
really?
I would throw you under a bus? I would try to save you, Carl.
You would have pushed me under the zombie bus for a nice clean bed in the
No,
governor's
that's
house.
just me
That was
clowning.
just
That's
you
just me clowning on the show. But in real life, if there's a zombie apocalypse, I got you. But I am really hurt, and I'm gonna forever be hurt that you was. It depends on how many dudes it got. And then here, I'm like, you wouldn't even open the door for. And you're like, well, it depends on blah. It shouldn't depend, Carl. It should not depend.
was
I'm
just
your friend, man. You shouldn't be treating me like that. I don't even understand that. We're gonna have to. You're gonna need to be different. You're gonna need to rise above this as a person.
silly. I was just messing with you.
No, no.
I wouldn't.
Because this is
I
the
would
second
not.
time
We
that you have said that you would not come to my aid, and I don't appreciate it.
End of line.